From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, it's the Anheuser-Busch InBev Beer of the Day Podcast. Wait a second. We didn't sell out, did we?
Not yet.
Okay, thank God.
I was going to say.
I scared myself for a minute. Whew. All right. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. Because the Great American Beer Festival is in progress right now, we decided to feature all Colorado beers on the show this evening, and we have a whole mess of them. We have 9 different beers from Oscar Blues, New Belgium. What else do we have?
Avery. Left Hand.
And Left Hand. Thank you. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, and Scott Sweeney. Hey guys.
What's up? How's it going?
How's it going? Doing well.
All right. So lately we've been starting out the podcast with asking the question, anyone have any interesting beers they tried this week? Jeff, you had one, right?
Well, I had a couple. So, you know, this, we're in late September, and a couple weeks ago we had a pumpkin beer podcast. And, you know, I thought overall they were decent, but all I really wanted this year was to find one pumpkin beer that I really liked. And I think I found 2. We didn't have them on the show. I found them after the show. One was Buffalo Bill's from, is it San Leandro?
Yeah.
In California.
We actually talked about Hayward. That on the show. In Hayward, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about the ingredients they use for that beer.
Exactly. But we hadn't had it at the time. And so I went and found it, and it was really good. It was probably, no, without a doubt, the best pumpkin beer I've had.
Yeah, we had it too last week, and it was amazing. It was so much better than anything we had on the show.
Absolutely. And then I also had from Anderson Valley, their pumpkin beer. It's called Fall Hornin'.
Yeah.
Also very good. I would probably put Buffalo Bill's just a step ahead, but both of those were great, and I was happy because I finally found 2 pumpkin beers that I could drink for the next couple months.
All right, well, we might have to try those on the pumpkin beer part 2.
Let's not do that.
Next year. During harvest time.
That's right.
Episode
we'll get pumpkins
64.
And wagons.
Yeah. Scott, you were saying you had a beer that you liked, right?
Yeah. Recently had the opportunity to go to Russian River this last Sunday, and they had just released, it was the release of their beautification sour, which is released on just the one day a year. And it was good. There was actually a line, people buying it from the back of their brewery, wrapped around the entire block. So we heard stories of people waiting 4 to 6 hours just to get their hands on some to go. So we were able to get inside in about 30 minutes and went up to the bar and had some at the bar. And it was delicious, great sour, but not. I don't think I would have waited in line that long.
Yes.
for it. You know what I mean? It wasn't life changing. It was a little overhyped, but it was good. I will say that.
Yeah, and I've stood in that line before too, and it does go surprisingly fast. They are very good at getting people in and out, even though you'll see that line down the street, and it's like God. But it's once you get in there, it seems pretty good. They're very quick.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster ride, you know. Yeah.
All right. Well, first beer of the day from Oscar Blues Brewery, Longmont, Colorado. We have Mama's Little Yellow Pills. Little Yellow Pills, 5.3% alcohol.
Now, Oscar Blues. Longmont is just north of Denver. It's pretty close to Denver, but both.
Thanks, geography, Jeff.
Yeah, well, it's worth noting. I mean, both Oscar Blues and
Left Hand
are both from Longmont. So
yeah, I noticed that also. Never heard of Longmont, but
I think it's up in like the up. Well, I guess it's all in the mountains, but
yeah, it's just up the mountain up there.
It's more like that's where all the outdoorsy stuff is up in that area. I wouldn't know. I've never been.
Yeah, we'll have to go sometime. So Oscar Blues, we have a bunch of Oscar Blues beer on the show here tonight, and they were one of the ones that recently, the bigger breweries that opened up a brewery in North Carolina. They're in Brevard, North Carolina. And now they just announced this week that they're going to open a third brewery in Austin, Texas.
Ooh, nice.
So I kind of like that idea, going down to Texas. We haven't seen many breweries do that yet.
Yeah, I think that kind of ties into like what Tony McGee was talking about with distribution to Mexico. Getting a brewery in the South is very important if you want to move into that market.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Little Yellow Pills. It's yellow.
Old yellow.
Very yellow.
It's got very clear. Couple fingers of white head. It's pretty clear. I wouldn't say it's as clear as those Oktoberfest beers we had a couple of weeks ago, but it's pretty clear. A good amount of carbonation.
Very crisp aroma. It's got a little bit of
a little grassy, would you say?
A little bit, yeah.
Barely.
But this is a beer that tastes exactly how it looks to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's designed to be a beer that's just a kind of an easy drinker. You know, not a whole lot of body. It's
like a lemongrass.
Yeah, there is a little of that.
You know, a little bit of Citra.
When I see pills, you know, I kind of think like...
It's an off switch for me.
Like Czech Pilsner. But I don't get that here. This is a little bit sweeter. It has... It's not quite that corn taste that you get.
No.
That in like lagers, but it's more of a sweeter... I'm trying to think of what to describe that malt as.
I think Pilsners for me are more crisp and a little more highly carbonated than a lager, and this has more of a lager taste to it.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't get a lot of carbonation on the taste either. I thought, looking at it, there were some bubbles there, but it's not too carbonated.
Mm-hmm. It's surprisingly sweet. I didn't really expect that. It's tough with these, you know, Pilsners, you know, your average Pilsner and lager, they're very, there's very little to go around there, like the flavor palette wise. And this is just one of them. It's got some sweetness to it. Maybe a little acidity.
A little bit. Maybe just a little citrus. But I'd put it like on that spectrum between like a barley malt and a wheat beer. It's like somewhere in that middle ground.
Not bad. Serves its purpose. 5.3%. Easy drinker.
Easy drinker. I don't get any harshness or weirdness or funkiness or anything from this. It's a very drinkable beer. All right. Next up, we have from Avery Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado. This is Ellie's Brown Ale. 5.5%.
Andy, if you were wondering, Boulder is like northwest of Denver.
Thank you.
It's kind of between Denver and Longmont, just a little more west.
Colorado's a big place.
It's only 4 inches on the map.
Some would say.
Okay.
So this is pretty dark. Much darker than I expected.
Yeah, it's kind of a brown, it's kind of soda colored. Root beer colored.
It's almost black colored. Pretty good head. I just poured it, but pretty thick head. Looks like one that's going to last for a little bit.
Kind of a brown or tan, you know, darker than tan, I would say, on the head.
Mm-hmm.
I get some brown sugar sweetness.
Yeah, that's almost a given, though, you know.
Yeah, I was going for the layup there.
Yeah.
Give me something better.
A lot of sweetness on the nose.
Is there a little smokiness on that?
I think so. I'm not a big brown ale fan, but this is not bad. It's got that smoky molasses taste, kind of a burnt smokiness.
I like this.
Yeah, I think burnt's the perfect word for that.
It's a good, I call it a well-balanced brown ale, because sometimes the brown ales, you know, I want it to be a brown ale. I want it to taste the brown, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes they overdo it, and then sometimes they underdo it, and it's just kind of watery. This is the perfect balance between the two.
I think this is really good.
Yeah.
And I compare it to Moose Drool, which is very popular.
Yeah.
I don't drink enough Moose Drool to really know, but it seems to me that I prefer this one to it. But I'm going to, after the show, maybe tomorrow during football, I'll set them up side by side and see which one I like better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with Moose Drool. I think this blows it out of the water. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, very drinkable. All right. Let's get into the beer news of the day. Later on in the show, we have a couple of our friends are at the Great American Beer Festival, and they're going to call us if they're not too drunk and give us the report of their time on their first day there at the festival. So that'll be sometime in the next hour or however long the show is. But yeah, Great American Beer Festival is on, and it is big. Every year it gets bigger and bigger, and this year was no exception. I think they expanded the amount of space that they had to use considerably. They have 750 breweries there, 3,500 beers on tap, and wow. and 65,000 people are descending on the Denver area.
I would have to drink all of them.
So is this true right here? 77 minutes to sell out? Yes.
So that's actually because they added more space this year. Last year it took 23 minutes to sell out. So 77 minutes.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. So this is not a place where we can walk in and say, I want one of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but then you'd be dead.
Yeah. And that,
how many days is this?
That might ruin the
day.
3 days.
Yeah.
So I heard they like added 90,000 square feet of space for this year. That's a lot of space. It's pretty insane how big this thing's become. And it, you know, it's been going on for 20 years, 20 plus years, and it used to just be your head brewers and just mm-hmm. beer people, you know, mm-hmm. media, whatever. And now it's just grown into this enormous thing. It's ridiculous. I don't know how long Denver can sustain the growth. I kind of feel like it's going to have to move at some point.
Hmm. We'll see. We should try to go next year. I think that'd be fun.
Well, it's great for a brewery too. To be able to go there and have a chance to medal or win an award for your craft is a pretty significant thing. So that's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, and on Twitter, I mean, I've seen all the different posts about it. It's like the most popular thing in the beer world, maybe all year. I mean, it really is huge.
Yeah.
So the other piece of news, I hate to get back into this again. And I kind of alluded to it in my opening, but I thought we were over it for a while. I mean, last week, the week before, every week we talk about this.
I don't think it is. In the last 8 weeks, I think we've talked about this at least. In every
I
show.
Know.
Is this about the bet you guys have?
No.
No? Oh.
This never stops. This is, we have a bet that we could start, though. But
yes.
I mean, this is... It was Firestone. And then it was Lagunitas. And then it was... then last week, it was... AB, Anheuser-Busch, was thinking about buying Miller Coors.
Yep.
And then...
St.
Archer's sold to Miller, SAB. Now this week, another one, Golden Road, bought by AB, Anheuser-Busch InBev. Come on. And I was starting to like Golden Road. And in the beginning, I was a little hesitant, but I've had a lot of good beers from them lately, and I've kind of been on the Golden Road bandwagon. the disappointment, man, I was really disappointed.
If only you could click your heels and just go back. The Golden Road.
Come on.
I think that you're going to see is so much of this because there's a lot of people that got into the business in order to make money.
Yep.
And they got in at the right time too.
Well, yeah, they saw an opportunity to capitalize and they did, and that's what they're doing. And it's every week we're going to have another one, I think.
Mm. But I saw Meg Gill interviews with her, and she seemed like she was such a craft beer insider.
Yeah.
And now she's a freaking multimillionaire at 30 years old. Good for her. But, oh, man. Yeah. It just bugs me.
I kind of look at it this way. I mean, every gas station or mini mart you go into now has a little craft beer section. I mean, so it's kind of... It's kind of that evidence of that the craft scene is really taking over, and the big guys are, you know, obviously looking at that and they say, hey, we got to.
It's shelf space.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of it comes down to. And the biggest brewery in LA is now Anheuser-Busch, and those beers are going to be on the shelf. And so they, you know, whatever beers they come out with, they're going to want to take up, especially now this is the can section, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they started bottling it too. Right. That way, in markets where they need to encroach in on the bottle section of the store, they can come out with the bottles and get those in there.
Yeah.
And then they can encroach in on the cans, and they can kind of force, okay, you know, 21st Amendment and Oscar Blues and, you know, whatever. They're going to have to compete with this big old fish in that pond now.
Now, you know, we haven't released a show. It'll actually come out after this. We spotlighted a brewery that is owned by a major corporation.
Right. Last week we did Boulevard, and you will hear this next week.
Yeah. And it was surprising how impressed we were with all the beer.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly good.
Yes.
And it was one of those situations where...
Did you do the Rattler? Did you guys do that one?
No. We didn't do that one.
It's like a lemon...
Yeah, that we couldn't get our hands on that one.
Okay.
But we did a bunch of really good ones from Boulevard. And Boulevard was bought by Duvel.
Yep.
It seems to me that they have been a little more hands-off with who they've purchased. Not to say that Goose Island has really been affected by being bought by InBev.
No.
Maybe. But I don't know. It just seems to me that... I'm just dumbfounded at how often that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
It's every week.
You know, and like, so what we'll see from a lot of these is we'll see a lot of their most popular beers. We're going to see them everywhere. From a craft beer standpoint, I'd almost rather see a brewery where I never saw the same beer twice than seeing all their IPA on the shelf every single place I go to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
I see it everywhere now. I mean, I live so close to Golden Road.
That's different. That's not the same. You know, we'll see it. You'll see it everywhere in the entire country. It'll be everywhere.
Yeah. People up here are still finding out about it.
Right.
You know,
I'm seeing it more and more. They've been a huge growing brewery, and their distribution has grown a lot. But now they're going to have the golden ticket for that.
So what's your take at the end of the day on it?
I'm surprised. I don't know how many it's going to take, right? How many breweries do they need to buy to compete, right? Or do they just buy them all? And then, you know, there's going
to
be those.
They buy enough of them until they can drive all the rest of them out. That's how it works.
Yeah,
but I don't know that they're driving them out. They'll buy them out, and then a new one will pop up. And
no.
Right, but
they kind of maintain their market share.
Yeah, but you buy five of them, and then you're pushing that. You have those five in the store, and then the shelf space for all these craft beers is shrinking a little more and more.
You get in the shelf space, you get in the price point.
Right, it's all cheaper too. Yep. They're able to sell it they're able to mass produce it, sell it at a cheaper price point, and then they drive the little guy who can't sell it that cheap out of business.
Yeah, ever since AB InBev bought Goose Island, I've been saying this. They could give the beer away for the rest of time, and it wouldn't even register on their, you know, their accounting. They wouldn't care as long as it meant that they were winning. Right?
Yeah.
And that's not what's happening, but that's how strong they are as a player. They can make anything happen. They have the ability to do that.
And they're pricing it just a little below, right? It's a business thing. They're trying to still make money on it. So yeah, they're not going to completely undercut it, but they could do that. And as things get more competitive and you start getting these big macro breweries that all have their craft brands competing against each other for price and shelf space, then that's going to make it even harder for the mom and pop shop. Well, I don't like it. You know, I hope this is, we maybe have a break for a while, you know, maybe just they can for until after Christmas, you know, maybe just lay off the acquisitions. I don't know, probably next week.
I
think we should have a pool. We should all pick three breweries and we can see who lasts the longest.
Oh yeah.
You know, we could turn it into a betting thing.
So to that point, I'm going to pick New Belgium. So New Belgium, you know, I give them a hard time on this show, but they really are an important brewery to the craft beer scene. You know, they're one of the heritage brewers where, you know, they've been around for a long time. They are now 100% employee owned.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that they can't sell out, but it's all of the employees making the decision to do so. I think that's a business model that we could definitely respect. You're not going to see this type of news from them, I don't think.
Nope.
So,
and they're huge. They're number three, right?
Right.
I think second to Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for them.
Mm-hmm. Retool your recipe for Fat Tire and then everything else is good.
Right. That's really your only complaint as far as I know.
Right.
All right. So speaking of New Belgium, we have a New Belgium beer. This is the Abbey Double. 7%. New Belgium's in Fort Collins, Colorado. Geography, Jeff, where is that in relation to Denver?
He didn't look it up.
I don't know. I don't have this one.
It's south.
It's in Fort Collins.
I've been to Denver, but I've never been to Fort Collins.
I think it's just a stretch down the road.
Ooh, 7%er, huh?
Yeah, it's a Belgian double, so it's going to be 6.5%, 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's got a weird aroma. What is that? It's like very candy-like.
Yeah.
Like
brown sugar?
Not
or
like saltwater taffy?
I stand corrected. Oh, it's north. Right. It's closer to Cheyenne than Denver.
It's almost to Wyoming.
Yeah.
Well, great. Glad we got that down.
Yeah, we don't want to give anyone any false.
We're still looking up where.
Back to the beer. Do you get the saltwater taffy thing?
I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Good call.
Jeff, and what are you drinking? Are we going?
Well, I don't have this one. I guess I'll open my beer.
Yeah. What do you have?
See, there's.
So I have from Left Hand Brewing Company a Milk Stout Nitro.
Does it have one of those little things in there?
It must have the capsules in there.
I think
to make it a nitro?
It's named Nitro.
I think they actually put nitrous in it.
I don't think it's on nitro.
Guinness used to do that.
And so does Oscar Blues does that with, I think it's Goodnight or one of the other ones. Yeah, has the little capsules in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it in a bottle, though? I've always seen it in a can.
Yeah, you could.
Well, look at it.
I think you could do it in anything.
No, there's nothing in here.
Nothing inside.
All right, so kind of a darker amber color. It's a penny from 1974.
Yeah, 75 maybe.
There's that smell.
I taste two things.
Okay.
I taste dirt.
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 I don't get.
Man, it's sweet dirt though.
It's sweeter. It actually reminds me a lot of that last beer we had. It's a little sweeter. Mm-hmm. And it's got that New Belgium signature taste.
It has that New Belgium malt characteristic. But in this beer, it's not. I like it much better than Fat Tire.
Not very carbonated.
As somebody,
smooth.
I really appreciate Belgian style ales of all sorts. And this just doesn't do it for me.
I'd have to agree. It doesn't blow me away. It's easy to drink for what it is, and I like the sweetness characteristics to it, but I think you're right. It's not
I was actually more impressed with the aroma than I, you know, than I am with the beer.
All right. Well, we have another couple more New Belgiums later on in the show, so hopefully we can find one we like. Jeff, why don't you tell us what your beer is about?
All right. So I poured mine, and this is really interesting because I don't know that I've ever seen this, but I feel like the head on this beer is growing after I poured it. It was like really thin at first, and then it got thicker, which I don't know why that is, but it's very dark. So again, I have the left-hand milk stout. It's basically black-colored, good thick head. I had a sip. It's got kind of a creaminess to it, which I think is pretty common in a milk stout. These kind of taste, a lot of these taste alike to me. I don't know that there's much to differentiate this, but it's smooth. I mean, this is a really tasty beer, so I like it. I need another sip, but first sip was really good.
Are you getting any like any brown notes from that, or?
Yeah, so definitely some burnt flavors, some coffee, like, you know, the roasted malt flavor that I think you would expect from this type of beer.
Yeah,
but it's smooth. You know what? I just realized something really interesting too. So I have these new stout glasses I just bought.
Yeah.
And I actually just got them today.
And look.
And they're from Spigelow. I have the box right here.
Spigelow. Yeah. We have the Spigelow IPA glasses here.
Right, which I had before, but I just realized looking at the box that these were designed in conjunction with this brewery, probably for this beer.
Yeah.
It has their label on the box. Nice. So good first use of this glass.
That's cool. What's the ABV on that guy?
You have it the bottle. It is 6%.
6%? Nice.
It's tasty. It's, I don't know. I don't drink a lot of milk stouts, but I like the creaminess. I think it's easy to drink. 6% is not super strong, but it's very dark. It's got a lot of complex flavors. I think for somebody who likes a stout, they would like this beer.
Great. Sounds good. All right. And now we are joined by Jamie Doherty from the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, Colorado. Jamie, are you there? Hello.
Can you hear us?
I hear you loud and clear.
We can hear you.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going there?
It's going awesome today. We've been drinking since we woke up.
Yay.
That's a good day.
That's a great day.
Yeah, the DBF, lots of great bars, award-winning things I've never tried. Pretty awesome.
So how's the festival?
The festival was fun. There was probably like, 10,000 beers there. Yeah, I didn't try all 10,000. I wouldn't be able to stand right now, but I tried a lot of good ones.
How many of the 10,000?
How many is 10,000?
How many did you have?
We probably had, probably like
150
or 200. I don't know.
Oh, man. That's a good day.
Yeah, it was good. There were some standouts for sure.
What were some of the standouts? What were some of the best beers you had?
There was a lot, actually, of stuff that I hadn't tried.
Track 7 won.
Oh, Track 7, give a shout out to Sacramento. They won a silver for their Hoppy Plum.
And New Helvetia won a gold.
For their Ginger
Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
But some standouts were the Three Swords of Life. What is that called?
Permanent Funeral.
Oh, yeah, Permanent Funeral. It was pretty good. It was one of the first tastes of the day. That was awesome.
Nice.
And then another standout was a Surly Todd the Act. That was awesome. It was really bright, delicious. I never had that before. And their Darkness, which is their stout that comes out once a year. That was pretty fantastic. Yeah.
And Lawson's Session IPA was amazing.
Oh, and the Liquid Sensation. That's always the beer you got.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we just went to a brewery called Ratio.
Called what?
And
it's called Ratio, and they had brewer karaoke.
What?
Yeah, all the brewers from all the thing. It was to have it was the after hour party, and all the brewers were singing karaoke, and it was a big dance party. It was kind of fun. Probably the best karaoke party I've
seen. I've never seen more beers in one place.
slash beards. That's salted lime, the salted lime goza. Or I'm bringing a bottle of that home, actually. And
nice.
Then they have that strawberry Berliner Weiss. It was pretty fucking fantastic. So, my can fuck on the top, though.
So a lot of beers and beers, huh? Beards and beers.
Beard.
Did I say beers and beers twice?
To go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have any sours you like?
Like the whole day was a sour party.
Really?
No, there's been like sours. The brewery that we just went to, we had two. It was delicious. But when we went to Firestone, we had the La Waffle Cola.
Yeah.
That was like with peppercorn, and it was sour, and it was pretty awesome. I've never had that one. Of the slow lambic. That's good with a lala berry, and it was a lala delicious.
The Trinity Sour, which is really, really good.
We tried brews from Casey Brewing. Which Casey Brewing was pretty fucking awesome. And Troy Casey, the owner brewer, came into the small bottle shop and poured beer from the back patio, and we were able to bring a little bit of the bottles home. And I guess they're pretty hard to come by, but his beers were like sour and amazing. Apparently they're hard to get to, but
awesome.
Super small production. It's really cool to meet the brewer. He was super down to earth. And the beers that you think, oh my God, it was so like perfectly imbalanced and tart and like delicious.
Cool. Hey, so any talk of all the mergers and the brewery buyouts and everything that goes on in that sense?
Probably talked about it a little bit, but we didn't really talk about it. We just kind of drank and talked to brewers and like shook hands.
Yeah, babies. I don't think. I mean, there were lots of lines for the 10-barrel, the 10-barrel 10, the Firestone Walker 10, the Lagunitas 10. So all those guys were recently bought out, and I didn't see any impact on the interest. There was no line for the Miller 10.
They have a tent.
Yeah, it's not a craft beer festival.
They were right next to the Nuclearis tent. That had a line for like 30, 40 people.
Oh my God. And by the way, the new Glarus sold in 2015. Was that? Like, it was so good. But yes, Miller Coors had no line next to it. Dave almost went in line to them just to like hang out with them.
I felt bad. I wanted to give him some love because I still love Highlight.
Well, it is the champagne of beers.
It is.
They were just passing out keychains, huh?
Yes. They were handing out lots of swag and no one was taking it.
Yeah.
So what was the strangest beer that you had?
So which one?
The strangest beer that you had today. Maybe a weird ingredient, something like that.
Oh, I didn't have anything with a crazy weird ingredient. I saw some stuff, but...
There was a brewery there.
Oh.
The chili...
But that wasn't weird. Can't remember what it was called. Lost Abbey didn't have anything really weird. Ooh, speaking of sours, though, I had Allagash Farm to Face on tap, which was amazing. Again, peach sour. Ooh.
And the peppercorn sour. It's incredible.
Yeah, but that, I already said that. It's not weird.
It's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
I mean, peppercorn and sour, weird. That doesn't sound like it really would go well together.
It was so tasty. I almost didn't get it because I thought it was sounded a little weird, but it wasn't at all.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, the whiskey peach one was one you wouldn't think.
Oh, yeah. Together. Whiskey and peach. That was,
All right. So, last question. Your favorite beer you've had today?
I might be that third green one, but Todd.
Todd with an axe or something.
Yeah, no, it was Todd with an axe. That was really good. I'm trying to think. Although, I had so many amazing sours. That was a double IPA, so I guess that would be that.
All right, so and you're going on a desert island. You can only pick one. What's it going to be?
I could keep drinking that pretty easily, actually. Oh, it was just a single IPA, actually, the 7. I could pretty much drink that.
The ratio beers are awesome.
Dude, I really like the ratio beers. Yeah. I would taste that cherry.
The lime goes tastes like margarita. So if I was on a desert island,
you would need the margarita.
I would want that. It was delicious.
I'd probably take the Casey East Bank. Probably good.
Dave, are you picking the same one for your desert island beer?
I think I would take the
margarita.
The salted lime goes.
Salted lime goza.
And who is that by?
I'm bringing a bottle home, so maybe I'll share it with you people.
Who's that by?
Ratio.
Oh, Ratio. Okay. Cool. Well, it sounds like you guys are having a fun time.
Hell yeah. Right now we're just walking home. We just left the bar, and we haven't been back to the hotel since this morning. So
you're there for you're there for two more days, or?
Yep. Yeah. And we're still standing.
All right. Well, nice. Hopefully you can survive two more days of that. I don't know if I'd be able to.
I think so.
Then on Tuesday.
Oh, Odell had a pineapple sour. That was really good. I forgot about that. Odell pineapple sour. I just remembered that. It came to my
Odell's?
Head on Saturday. I think I wanted a sip of it. Cool. I think I just wanted a sip of it or something just now. I was walking down the street and thought it sounded refreshing.
Awesome.
Alice, on Tuesday, we're going to be tapping a bunch of knee-deep stuff. So we get back from Denver, and we immediately tap knee-deep. So
be prepared. Get your livers ready. At Old Town Pizza and Tap Tap.
On Tuesday?
No, but we are tapping a bunch of knee-deep. So get your palate ready for some hot.
On Tuesday?
Yep. And trivia.
Okay. Well, that's great. I love knee-deep, so I'll be there. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
A week from now, you guys are having Oktoberfest on Saturday, correct?
Yeah. And
do you know what beers you have for that Oktoberfest?
I definitely have Hacker Sure.
We'll probably have bought the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest.
We've been collecting some, so I don't really remember, but I know Hacker Sure and Spaten.
Well, those are good ones anyway.
Pretzels. Delicious, actually. Pretzels are delicious.
Okay. Okay, so it's Tuesday. We have Knee Deep's tapping for trivia. And then on the 3rd of October, we have Oktoberfest beers at Old Town Pizza in Elk Grove.
Yep, get your lederhosen out and get ready to do the chicken dance.
I'm ready.
I got my lederhosen.
All right. We'll see you guys. Hey, enjoy the next couple of days. It's going to be a blast.
We will. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, Scott.
Bye, guys. Bye. Have fun.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with another beer from the Lips of Faith series, plus several more Colorado beers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Right here. On the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if this is your first time hearing this show, then you should know that we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and that's where we take all these beers and we write descriptions and take photos of them and put them up and feature them on a daily basis. And if you sign up on the site, you can get the Beer of the Day sent to you each day to your email or straight to your phone by text message. Also, if you're on social media, as most people are, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. Follow us on Twitter, @beeroftheday, or on Instagram, we are @beerofthedaysite. So we post it to each of those social networking sites each day, and then you can like it, share it. And then if you're a member of the site, you can also rate the different beers, figure out new beers to try. So it's a lot of fun. Check it out. Also, if you have any comments about this show, we would love to hear from you. So you can send us an email, feedback@beerofthedaysite.com. Or if you're on the podcast page, you can just type your comment right into the comments below the show. All right, let's get back to the Strange Brew segment. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Our Strange Brew segment is the strangest beer that we have that fits the theme. We do a lot of Lips of Faith series from New Belgium, so it just so happened there was one left that we haven't had, and we got it for the show tonight. This is Le Terroir. My French isn't that good. A dry hopped sour ale. Now, right there, that tells me something that I don't see a lot of. Hopped sour. You don't see a lot of hoppy sour beers.
You don't, and at least you don't see them advertised as such. There's hops in sour beer.
Certainly.
Most of the time.
But when you see dry hopped, usually that's an IPA you're hearing a description of.
Definitely, and so I think that's why this is the strange brew, is that it's marketing itself as a hoppy sour.
7.5%.
Well, we had to have this. I mean, the number, as Dallas said, the number of strange brews we've had that have been from New Belgium. If we have a Colorado show, it'd be a little weird if we didn't have one as a strange brew.
Yes. So it's lucky that we actually found one that we hadn't had before. I actually bought Eric's Ale again. Looking forward to having that.
Not on the
show.
You
must have loved it so much last time.
It was very memorable. We had it a month ago, and I forgot it.
We do drink a lot of beer.
Le terroir means of the earth.
Ooh.
You taste a lot of the earth here?
I just saw, yeah, that little...
So for me...
Le terroir.
It's a golden, cloudy-colored beer, two fingers of white head. I get a lot of sour on the smell. Maybe some pear, I think. It smells like sour pear to me.
Pear or mango. Do you guys ever eat that candy, Hi-Chews?
Nope.
Hi-Chew?
No. I know what you're talking about, but I never had it.
Bless you.
No, Hi-Chew. this tastes exactly like mango-flavored Hi-Chew. It's got this candy taste to me. It's sour, but it's got this sweetness from, I don't know what it is, but it tastes like Hi-Chew candy.
You know, I think maybe where the dry hops came in is they wanted to tone it down a little bit.
Well, so when you dry hop a beer, you're really adding to the aroma rather than the flavor.
Okay.
I do taste it. I taste a little bit of the dankness of hops in there. I don't get a lot of the hop on the aroma, but I feel like it's kind of balanced out against the sour.
Uh-huh.
I don't get any dry hops.
Wow.
I mean, if this wasn't called dry hopped, I would not think there was any excess hops in here.
That's very sour beer.
I like it. It's not overly tart, though. You know? I mean,
there's like a little like marijuana-y taste thing there, right?
Mm-hmm. It's bringing the sour back.
Not that I would
down.
Know what that tastes like.
It's bringing it down a little bit. You know, it's kind of calming it.
There's a dankness there that after the sour's gone, I feel it.
Yeah,
I get this little bit of like sour candy thing in the aftertaste.
Wow,
like sour patch or something.
That's amazing. I'm gonna have a little more, I think.
It tastes a lot like the tart beer from Boulevard that we're going to have next week. I know that in advance.
What is it? Telltale Tart?
Telltale Tart.
Yeah.
This is a little sweeter, more candy-like, but it's got that same sort of tartness it's not so bitter that you can't drink it. I mean, I like this. It's a good flavor, but it is pretty sour.
It's quite sour.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's that sour because I've had stuff that's just so sour that it's like, wow,
I'm getting more than
just
sour.
This one I could sit at a bar, you know, and put a couple of these back. You know, it's not so overpowering where you couldn't have more than one. You know what I mean? Where it's not going to be
I could have two.
Yeah, you have two, but... You know, definitely one of those ones, a nice sipper you can kind of kick back on.
What type of fruit flavors do you get?
I wouldn't... green apple.
Green apple?
Yeah.
Green apple, pear, lemon, and mango.
Yeah, that's what I get too.
I'll go along with that.
I don't get... Yeah.
I can't argue with it anyway.
Hit the nail on the head.
It's so sour, I can't even taste it.
It's for me, it's pretty sour.
It does make my mouth water quite a bit, but it doesn't give me like the I don't feel like in the jaw thing, you know, when you get those super sour.
Yeah, where it's like back here.
Back here, it's like
it gets you right here. in that commercial.
It's not pinching me in the back of my mouth like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is a beer where after this, I feel like I need a palate cleanser before we go to something else.
I think this is a good palate cleanser for our next beers. Honestly, it gets us, you know, it's like eating the ginger.
Mm-hmm. I like this. I think New Belgium did well here. This is one of my more, you know,
yeah.
I haven't had all the Lips of Faith, but this is one of the better ones.
I think we've had just about all of them by now, hopefully. There might be a few more left, but
I'm sure they'll keep coming out with some new ones.
The sours that you're talking about?
No, just their Lips of Faith series. They do all these weird stuff.
I wish I took notes at this little place we went to in San Francisco. But they had a bunch of New Belgian sours up there, and it made me realize, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with La Folie.
La Folie. Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about an affordable sour if you ever have to buy a 15.5 gallon keg of it. Extremely affordable, extremely good. And I think they're really taking their sour program to the next level. They're doing a really good job on their sours. So I would say that's kind of, I mean, if you're not super enthusiastic about the other beers, I think their sours are definitely hitting home runs from what I've been tasting.
And I have that to say about them. You know, I give them a hard time with their New Belgium and some of these other beers, that their regular release beers. The Lips of Faith series overall has been very successful to me. There's a couple that I didn't like, but that could have just been more preference than anything else. But 9 out of 10, I think I would approve of and have again.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's move into the next beer. We have from Oscar Blues, another Oscar Blues beer called Old Chub. This is a strong ale.
Scotch ale.
Scotch ale.
It's an Old Chub.
Scotch ale. What's the percent on this?
8%.
8%. All right. We only have one to share here, so there might be a few more out in the fridge. A little more aged, though. All right. I see. It's fairly dark beer. Kind of a...
almost the same color as the Ellie's Brown, huh?
Yeah.
It's got more red to it. It's more like a reddish mahogany color. A brownish mahogany.
Yeah, kind of a... cherry.
It was. It's
cherry. Old,
it's
your old chub. It's mahogany.
The same color as this table.
A cherry chub.
Mahogany chub.
With that tan head.
It's been marinating in leather-bound books.
This is about to go off the rails.
All right.
I don't know that much about Scotch ale. I'll be the first to admit it, but I like the smell.
Well,
aroma's good.
Some Scotch ales are like rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. They're kind of a very strong beer.
Well, they tend to use a ton of malt, and I think that's kind of their signature, their signature thing. Multiple different malts.
Yeah, this has a pleasing aroma. It's a little sweetness, but I can't. There's not really identifiable smells to me.
What are we at ABV on this?
8%.
8%.
It tastes to me a bit like a barley wine. And again, I don't drink a lot of Scotch ales, but it's got this smoothness. I mean, you definitely taste the alcohol. I mean, 8% is not a ton. It's not overly alcoholic, but I taste the alcohol.
I don't know what you're tasting. I don't taste any alcohol.
I do. But it tastes like a barley wine to me.
It tastes like a super malty beer.
It's for a barley wine, I'm thinking like 11%. This is way back off of that. But I mean, it's the same like flavor spectrum. You know, you're going to get those.
It's not as sweet, though.
True. It's more malty. It's not as sweet.
So it's got a dark malt. There's a little sweetness to it, but it's not overly sweet. I don't know if it's caramel sweetness or if it's. Mm-hmm.
It's like a candy sweetness.
I think you're right, like kind of caramel.
Yeah, caramel. You get. I was thinking it would have some of those molasses type notes, but it's not getting that dark. It's actually staying more in the...
I mean, like maybe a little bit of vanilla in there.
Yeah, I do get a little vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of that. A red ale kind of has that brickiness.
Yeah.
This has a little of that in there, but not to the point where it's even bordering on a red ale. It just has a little bit of that characteristic.
Do you guys get fruitiness, like cherries or something along those lines?
It would be like a dark dried fruit, like a raisin or something like that.
Yeah, raisins I do get.
Hmm. Yeah, this is solid Scotch ale.
Very drinkable.
I love the style. I mean, this is great. If you guys, I don't know if you guys have had Kilt Lifter on the show yet.
We have not.
No, well, we've had it many times before, though.
That's another.
Right, but that beer is no joke. Like, it is strong, you know. It'll kick you down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
This one here is not to that level.
Sure.
It's a little more palatable.
It's just an old chub. Not powerful enough to lift a kilt.
It's an old chub. Not enough to lift a kilt. Good call.
Just, yeah.
All right, next up, we're going to try a couple of different Imperial IPAs. We have Rampant Imperial IPA from New Belgium at 8.5%. And we'll try that one first, and then we're going to compare that to Gubna Imperial IPA from Oscar Blues at 10%. So we'll start with the lighter one on the alcohol side and give that a try, and then we will move into the heavier Oscar Blues one.
So, you know, right off the bat, very, very light in color. Almost the same as the Pinner the little yellow pills.
Even clearer. It's very clear.
A step darker, but not much.
It's a step. This is a golden color. It's not amber.
It's darker.
It's golden. Sure. The yellow pills was like more fluorescent yellow. This is more standard beer color.
Yeah, but for an Imperial IPA, you don't usually see them this light.
No,
for sure.
Imperial IPAs are usually a little more cloudy. This one is pretty clear. A lot of head, too. Ooh.
You smell dirt?
You know, if I'm drinking an Imperial IPA, I kind of look for that fresh hop aroma.
It doesn't have it.
This has more of the stale hop aroma. Like it's like I have a fresh IPA that's been in the fridge too long, and then you get it comes out a little funkiness on the smell.
So instead of like a citrus style hop.
Correct. It's more of and it might just be dry hopped as opposed to the fresh hop. It reminds me a little bit of the smell of that General Sherman we had a couple weeks ago.
Hmm.
I don't get the smell of this beer. The aroma is off. There's something weird. It doesn't really taste like an Imperial IPA.
It's not really a West Coast style.
Definitely not. I didn't get much aroma off it at all.
Mm-mm. So on the taste, not a whole lot of hops here. This is more not a West Coast style IPA. This is a maltier IPA.
I don't get a lot of malts either, though. It's kind of weird. I don't get a lot of malts or hops.
What do you get?
I don't know. It doesn't taste.
I think that's actually, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think that's a good thing. It's a well balanced beer. You know,
it's well balanced.
It's balanced,
I'm not
for sure.
I'm not a big fan myself. It's not.
It's bready, right?
It's not really doing it for me. Maybe that's the best thing to say. Yeah, it's bready, and that's.
There's still the under layer of the New Belgium yeast that I taste.
That's there.
Sourdough bread.
The dirt.
It's a bready base.
Dirt bread.
It's
sourdough bread that fell on some dirt.
With a mild hop on top of that.
Yeah.
There's some hoppiness there. It's just not what we're accustomed to, but
I would drink this beer. I wouldn't have a problem drinking this beer.
I'm going to send you my other five.
I don't know. I wouldn't order it.
It doesn't give a lot of either end of the spectrum, but it's a drinkable beer. It'd be fine for you're watching football on a Sunday, you drink 10 different beers. This could be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're switching it up, definitely. I wouldn't put down a six-pack, though, of it.
All right, well, let's compare that to Gubna. Gubna Imperial IPA. Love the name.
Hello, Gubna.
Hello, Gubna. It is. So, it's so much fun to say, so.
Color-wise, they're actually very similar.
Just scared me and Andy. We just looked over.
Nice Hooters.
Sorry. I have the same glass. Didn't mean to scare you, but these are the exact same color.
Okay, good.
Which
to
is
know.
Shocking for an Imperial IPA.
Oh no.
And he just poured the beer.
Still on aisle three.
The glass wasn't there.
I was trying to watch your video, Jeff.
Didn't work.
Oh, man. Maybe we shouldn't do 9 beers on a show.
I mean, it wouldn't be a Beer of the Day podcast without me spilling a little bit, right?
That's true. Usually it's on yourself, but
it's for the homies.
But this is a record, 9 beers in a show. It's the most we've ever had.
Mark that in the book.
The Beer of the Day record book.
For those of you keeping track at home, 9 beers. Instantly better. Aroma, taste. This is far superior.
There's a lot more of a hop aroma.
There is. I don't get the funkiness on the aroma that I had on the last one.
Nope. It's got the hops. It's well balanced. I think the finish is very sweet for a double IPA or an Imperial IPA. It's sweeter than I expected. I think it's a tasty beer. I like this. This is good. I mean, it should be good. I can't move on without saying how expensive this beer is. This is the most expensive 4-pack I've ever bought in my life.
Was this one more?
$18 for a 4-pack.
I thought that was the next one.
Both were the exact same price.
I got my receipt out. I just bought this. $18 for a 4-pack. It better be delicious.
So I spent $36 on 8 beers.
Now, and I kind of, with Oscar Blues, their Dale's Pale Ale, that's their flagship. It was always more than like Sierra Pale. And that's kind of their thing, I guess. Now they're mass producing all of it.
Well, it has to travel a little farther.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's probably the same. It's more everywhere it would be, I would think.
So Dale's is the biggest brewery to only do cans.
Oscar Blues, yeah.
Oscar Blues. But we're seeing that a lot more. I mean, 21st Amendment is only cans.
Golden Road,
you know, they were a big up and comer and doing the cans.
Now
they're dead to me.
So Blues, I believe Oscar Blues was the first craft brewer to do cans.
So wait.
Yeah, but now everyone else has glommed onto it. Sierra Nevada has cans.
Right, but their purpose was a little different. So you read on all these cans that says pack it in, pack it out, because they're way into like the outdoors and the hiking. It's in Longmont, Colorado, where all the mountains are.
Right. Canned beers are very convenient for that. If you're camping.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're,
there's a lot of great reasons to use cans.
If you're floating down the river.
Yeah. I don't think they use it because they didn't start using it, at least for it being a great beer vessel, which it is. They use it because it served another purpose.
Yeah. And,
but
you know,
but ultimately cans are better to preserve.
Absolutely.
The beer. I mean, 100% better than bottles. I mean, bottles let light in. There's a lot of different factors during when they're shipped. Heat wise,
sure. Especially when they came up with the linings where you don't get that aluminum flavor into the beer.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't know if it's psychological or whatever. I would rather drink beer out of a bottle than beer out of a can.
I agree 100%.
I don't know why that is.
And I go. People go to the you know, if it's a barbecue, they're like, hey, let's get a 36 pack of whatever. I'm gonna pay more money and purchase less to get bottles every time.
I agree with you guys, but you got to pour the can into a glass, and then it's a superior taste. But if you don't have a glass,
but if you're
for
at
sure,
a,
we're
if
gonna
you're
drink
at
it
a,
out of a bottle.
And the best way to drink a beer is out of a glass, no doubt. But if you're out golfing or you're at a barbecue, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the situation where, hey, do you have a pint glass I can have this with? You know, yeah. I'd rather have the bottle.
Yeah. I'd like a chilled glass, please, yes. At a bar. At a barbecue.
We have Dixie cups.
Red Solo cup.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. Maybe sometime, I think we have, at one point, we did a...
Yeah, with the Bell's Two Hearted Ale.
We did. Bell's Two Hearted. We did the can versus the bottle, and we gave our comparison of the two.
But did you pour the bottle into a glass?
Yeah, we did both.
Oh, both.
They were so similar, but the can was just a little bit better.
Really? The carbonation was a big difference. It was like the size of the bubbles was bigger in the bottle than they were in the can.
Oh, so see, I prefer more carbonation.
The cans were more carbonated.
They were.
But they were smaller bubbled, so like it's more
crisp?
Creamy. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we need to do it with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yeah,
that's a beer that we drink a fair amount of both out of cans and bottles, and that taste is, in our DNA now.
But it's funny because we almost never drink it out of a glass, because when we have that beer, it's when we're out.
Boom. Yeah, and you're hitting it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Golfing. I have some in my refrigerator right now. I had one earlier today, and it was delicious.
So good.
I had four or five of them earlier today.
Mm-hmm. So... Going back to Gubna, don't you guys love this beer?
It's quite good.
I haven't even tried it yet.
It's really good, especially for being 10%. It is a little sneaky. This is a sneaky beer.
Sneaky.
It's easy to drink.
Yep.
We talked about our double IPA blind taste test a long time ago. Recently, we wanted to include Lizard's Mouth. This is another one that I would like to include. I would put that up there in the same echelon of Imperial IPAs.
This has got a bitterness to it, though.
It does.
It really does. That Lizard's Mouth was so, like, you know, floral and fruity, and this is so
It's like it's sweet. It's got
different.
A little sweetness going on, and then the back side of the beer is definitely bitter. But
I'm left
wanting more, you know.
I think it's good. I can't put it on the same level as Lizard's Mouth. That is one of the best beers I've had this year.
I've not had that yet, so I'm going to write that down.
There might be one in the fridge still. Probably not.
Probably not. But
oh.
Maybe.
I got
finished. Jeff's going for some more.
Oh. He's doing
so good.
Whole.
Would you like some more, Gubna?
Thank you, Gubna.
Oh, Gubna.
Gubna.
Hey, Gubna.
Yeah. Messed that up.
Well, we're having 9 beers and we're almost done. It's kind of flown by here, so I got to catch up.
Well, time flies.
It doesn't
when you're
seem like
fun.
We've had 8 beers.
The thing I like about Oscar Blues is when you go to any bottle shop or beer store, you know which ones are Oscar Blues
mm-hmm.
right away. Not just because they can, but they're all very similar marketing style. Yeah, I like it.
It's very obvious.
For great branding.
Do you think Oscar Blues and Oscar Mayer's are buddies?
No. they hate each other.
They're complete rivals. Yeah.
Probably.
They should do like a beer brat thing. That'd be pretty tasty.
Yes.
Just saying.
Ballpark.
A ballpark
free
blue.
Suggestion for you. Oscar Blues.
If you're listening out there.
We're spitting out marketing gold.
Gold, yes.
On the Beer of the
gold,
Day podcast.
Gold, Jerry.
What I do.
All right, let's move into the next one. Last beer of the night. What is it? Oh, another Oscar Blues.
What a shock.
We had 4 of them tonight, and that we actually ended up buying, I think, 3 other ones that we're not doing on the show tonight. So we'll do those in future podcasts. We couldn't be completely Oscar Blues. Well, we could have done a whole Oscar Blues show, but we wanted to kind of diversify our Colorado beers. This one is called Tenfitty, Russian Imperial Stout, 10.50% ABV.
And that's Fitty. And just so everyone knows, it's actually Fitty with a D, right?
Yes.
F-I-D-Y.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's what it's named after, the percentage.
Right.
And I believe that's actually in the Urban Dictionary, which means 50.
thanks for defining that for us. I was at a loss there.
I'm definition Scott.
I don't think I've ever had an imperial stout out of a can before. Ever.
I don't think I have either. And I don't think I just poured this. This is the darkest head I've ever seen on a beer. In my whole life.
So I got a little thing.
Without a doubt.
Well, you know,
I should take a picture of this.
The only other person that's seen seen imperial stout in a can is probably old Chubb himself.
Probably.
Just saying.
So when I
we've had old viscosity in these ones. This is the darkest head. And this beer is pitch black.
There's some white head and some dark head. And it's like a swirl. You see that?
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like ice cream. You know, like when you swirl ice creams together?
Mm-hmm.
Mine doesn't have as much as Dal's does. But that's
that's cool.
I'm going to take a picture of this so that when we post this on the site, we can see this. Because
yeah,
this is
like a frothy. It's like a cappuccino.
It's like some
a beer light. Cappuccino.
Oh yeah, look at that. Okay, this is very cool.
Oh
it's
yeah,
like the
you
coffee
can see
shops
it
that draw a little figure.
You kind of
like,
get,
you know, when you order a coffee and there's a little figure that's
see
etched
that?
Into your drink.
Yeah,
I've never seen that on a beer like this. So
I haven't either.
Very cool. Black as night. There's a little bit of little red
highlights.
Red highlight coming through, but.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see my hand behind the cup. It's that dark.
And the smell, I get molasses.
Bourbon. Even though it's not bourbon barrel age, I get bourbon.
Bourbon, dark, dark aroma.
I don't know if I get bourbon. I get a little smoke.
Little smoke.
Just that. The smoky malt, like, you know, if you've ever smelled the dark malts just in a cup or whatever, like the malts themselves,
burnt roasted coffee, man.
It's what that's it.
It's burnt roasted coffee. It's like a cup of coffee. It's like a cappuccino, man.
Yep.
This thing is good.
It's tasty. This is like the definition of an imperial stout to me. I like it.
And in a can.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
It seems weird to me. It's like pouring motor oil out of a can.
It is.
Can.
Well, it's funny. I was pouring it and it coated the glass. You can see.
Mm-hmm.
It just coats it with that brown film or whatever. That's pretty cool. It's thick. I would like to put this up against like the older viscosity side by side and see which one is more viscous.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty thick. I don't think it's as viscous though.
Well, we'll never know until we try.
I think there's a test for that. I think they have a
viscosity test.
That, yeah. This is definitely synthetic. it costs about $80 at the dealership to put this in your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll pay for 5 quarts, but then you have to pay for a 6th quart because your engine takes 6.
That's right. But as long as it comes with an air filter,
so I got a V6. I'm fine.
You're good.
Mine's only $74.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Those V8s, man.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's so expensive nowadays.
But for $18, I could just get a 4-pack of this beer and be fine.
Yeah. And just leave the car in the driveway.
Just use this.
And you'll never need an oil change.
That wouldn't be economical.
No.
The beer is more expensive than oil.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, then.
That was a nice tangent.
Nice tangent, but scratch that idea.
Not going to work.
Overall, solid beer.
Yeah, so flavor-wise, like we talked about the aroma a lot. There's a little chocolate.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetness, and then the coffee bitters.
Coffee grounds, yeah.
Grounds is the way to put it.
It's not
like some
it's not brown
tobacco
sugar.
Or
it's
like
a little
leather
molasses.
Tobacco.
So this would go, you know, we have 3 more of these that we haven't opened yet. And I have a feeling that we'll be having at least one of those with a cigar later. this would pair so well with a cigar.
Yeah.
It lends to the flavor of a cigar. It's got that, like you said, tobacco-y. And I don't want to call it spicy quality, but it's got the...
It's got
some bite, you know?
Bite. It's complex a little bit. It's got a lot of good things going for it.
Yeah. It might have been Draconic.
Draconic. Yeah, that was...
It might have been Lava on the beers up north. Remember that?
Yeah, I don't remember the beer very well.
It might be Undead Party Crasher.
From Clown Shoes.
There's been a lot of these darker...
Yeah, I feel like of the ones we've done in the last few months, this is the most above and beyond as far as like...
Drinkability?
No, I did the other way. I mean, it's more...
robust?
More robust. It's in the...
Robusto?
The upper scale of where you can't drink a lot of this beer, but you like the one you have.
Love the one you're with?
Love the one I'm with.
I agree. All right, well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight and figure out what our favorite beer of the day was. Andy, you want to take us through?
Yeah,
Nine beers.
We started off with Mama's Little Yellow Pills from Oscar Blues.
That seems like a long time ago.
It is yesterday, wasn't it? And then we had Ellie's Brown Ale from Avery. We had the Abbey Double from New Belgium. Well, burp. While we're doing
coincidence?
I don't think so. While we're doing that, Jeff had the Left Hand Nitro Milk Stout from Left Hand. And then we had our Strange Brew, the Le Terroir Dry Hop Sour Ale. Then we had the Old Chub Scotch Ale from Oscar Blues, the Rampant Imperial IPA from New Belgium, the Gubna Imperial IPA from Oscar Blues.
Hello, Gubna.
We finished off with another Oscar Blues, the 10 Fitty Imperial Stout.
Fitty.
50 cent. That's all you need.
All right. Spin a pen and let's see who goes first.
Just did that.
All right.
Not me.
All right, it's okay. Me.
Andy goes.
And, you know, this show, it was a great show because we've had these Oscar Blues beers have been around for about a year as far as being accessible to us. They've been around a lot longer than that, but they've been readily available. And I've always kind of passed on trying them because I was like, hey, we're going to do these on the show sometime. I want to try it for the first time on the show. So I'm glad we got to do that.
And we have two or three more that we can still do. Absolutely. So that's good.
We could easily do an Oscar Blues show and do nine more beers, right?
Yep.
With that said, you know, New Belgium, the Lips of Faith series, I always enjoy. The Rampant Imperial IPA was pretty good. But for my beer of the day, I'm going to go with the 1050. It's the most unique beer here. The Gubna wasn't really, you guys seem to like it, but it was a little too bitter for my taste. So I'm going to go with the 1050. The rest of them, really good qualities in some of them, but the 1050 was the most unique for the style. You know, it was our first Russian Imperial style out of a can.
Yep.
It was good. Scott?
Well, sorry, I was drinking. You know what my favorite beer today was? I'm going to go with the Strange Brew.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Le Terroir was...
Terroir.
I really enjoyed that. I wanted more immediately after drinking it. So that's always a good sign. And I felt it was a good balance of sour. I don't know what, you know, I know we didn't really pick up too much on the hot part of it, but I think it's in there.
It's there.
But we just, you know, you can't pick it up because it is sour. So, but it brings down the sour notes.
Yep.
Which makes it totally easy to drink at 7.5%. I think it's a solid sour. And as I said before, New Belgium's doing some really good things with their sour program. So I'm going to say that's my beer of the day.
Boy, I should have picked that.
All right. I am going to choose for my beer of the day the 1050 Imperial Stout. We do quite a few of these on the show, and this one, it stacks up with all the other Imperial Stouts that we've had. And you have to really kind of like Imperial IPAs to drink this. It's very dark and very, has those very dark tones to it. But this one, I wasn't expecting much from it, and it really impressed me. And like I said, the can thing, right? Not a fan of beers out of a can, generally. But hey, this one came out of a can, and it tasted just like all those other ones out of a bottle. So good for Oscar Blues and good for 1050. Jeffrey.
So you guys made it very difficult for me. Without a doubt, my favorite was the Rampant Imperial IPA from New Belgium. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, wow.
Nope.
Come on.
That was one of the worst beers I've had.
Oh, my God. We're trying to, like, be nice to New Belgium today.
So for me, it came down to two beers, Gubna Imperial IPA and 1050. You know, any other show, either of these would be the winner. But I got to go with Andy.
Yeah, that's right. You do have to go with me.
I mean, both were excellent, but, you know, I normally go towards an IPA. Double IPAs are very good. I really like that Gubna, despite the cost. Both of these are expensive.
Despite the cost.
But the 1050, I mean, the taste was smooth, yet robust, as you say. I could drink that beer, I would like to say, all day long. 10.5% might be hard to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was so tasty, so smooth. The alcohol is not that apparent. I got to pick the 1050. Best beer of the day.
Okay.
All right.
Nice.
Aw. Does this mean the show's over? What's that?
Scott, don't cry.
I'm getting really sad.
That's what the music means.
Can we just keep adding beers to the show?
We can add beers after the show.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's time to close out our Colorado beer show.
Hey, Colorado. Is this John Denver?
No. That was too obvious. This is the
Polish
Flying Burrito Brothers.
Oh, nice.
Who?
But we thank you for tuning into the show tonight and remind you to check out our website, beertheday.com. And if you have any feedback about this show or any of our past episodes, remember, send us an email, feedback@beertheday.com, or post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. I'd like to thank Dave and Jamie for calling in from the Great American Beer Festival. It was nice to get that report from them. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Scott Sweeney, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.